All right, y'all, you're here for another Kingdom Building Conversation in the building virtually. I got my man, the one and only, hailing from Jacksonville, Florida, Duval in the house, Brinson himself. The man is in the building. What's up, brother?
What's cracking? I'm grateful to be here. I'm happy to be talking to my brother, Trigg. You know what I'm saying? You've been out here killing the game for a long time, dude, and I appreciate you having me, man.
It's good to see you again, man. It's good to see you. And I'm excited because when I saw your post a couple weeks ago, you know how you're surprised, but then you go, I shouldn't be surprised. You dig what I'm saying? Because I know how long you've been putting in the work. You dig what I'm saying? And just once again, made me reminisce from some of the early days, man, just catching each other at different events and whatnot. But when you said, wow, man, it's the 10th album.
Yeah.
I'm like, this dude is at the 10th album. I mean, how many artists make it to 10 albums, right? Let's just, I mean, even just starting to CHH, how many artists?
Not many. I mean, off top, independently.
Right. Sure.
Off top, the only one I could think, it's a few, maybe, I think 7.
Okay.
And K-Drama. K-Drama dropped his 10th last year.
Yeah. Gotcha. And,
I think it was, I think the CHH community did him a disservice by not celebrating him more.
We should have.
Which I thought was a huge accomplishment for him.
Yeah.
You know, being the guy who had one of the biggest songs in Christian rap
absolutely.
History, period.
Air Jordan on him. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And him being such a stand-up guy and just a big support and such a loving guy. I think we as a community did a disservice to him, you know, and we missed a time to celebrate one of the poster childs of Christian rap, you know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
Outside of 7 and him, I can't name it.
Wow. So that's a good point, man. We you know what? It's never too late. We should think about how we go back and do that. And that's one thing I love about your heart, man. And thanks for pushing even on the Mr. Solo tribute, because I know initially, you know, I go through my own, we all process differently. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
And I know when I saw the news on Mr. Solo, I was grieved, man. That was a CD, one of their first CDs, man. You just used to rock in my player. Boom, boom.
Yep.
Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you just start hearing all the songs and whatnot. And then when you hit me and said, man, you know, somebody's got to do a tribute or something. I'm like, you know, Brinson, that's my man right there. You hit something, brother. So you pushed, and I'm glad you did, man, because it just made me just jump and say, you know what? Let me just, the team wasn't even ready. You know what I mean? We didn't have anyone else to do it. So I just did it, man, and just pulled it together.
It's essential, bro. Like, yeah. I think, and we missed the opportunity with him while he was here. You know what I'm saying? So I think, like, for cats like yourself who has seen the progression of the movement, like, you know, like, key artists that have put in work and, like, some of the unsung heroes, like guys like Todd Banks, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude.
Yeah.
When I rededicated my life, like, that guy's music with ADF and, like, that Underground Council CD,
man.
That mug kept me in church.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
bruh, listen, before he changed his name to Todd Banks, when it was Trey-Z, and the first time he came out and said, thank you, Lord God, for bringing me through, right?
That joint
right there on his knees. You know what I'm saying? So him and Jay Silas, now Jay Johnson, and Stephen Brindle, or Timothy Brindle. I mean, just cats who just labored and had such theology coming through with such lyricism that was compelling.
Yeah. I think our secular counterparts do a better job at honoring the people who did massive work when our genre has had such a better heart impact in the lives of people. Like K-9, I was looking at while he put out his new project called 45.
Yeah.
I saw people responding to him saying, I raised my kids on your music. Like, seeing something like that, like, come on, dude. Like, affecting generations. If you have a generational effect, and I'm, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we celebrate Pac and Big and Big L and Big Pun, but these guys didn't help walk and escort people to the altar and the cross of Christ, which I think is way more valuable than a hot 16 that was in the tunnel in New York City. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, keep pushing us, man. Keep pushing us on that, man. I love your heart on that, bro. Keep pushing us. We can talk after this. I got some, you're making me generate some ideas, bro. So we'll talk. Even the idea we talked about before we started filming. So, all right, cool. All right, so listen, before we jump into Throw the Crown, this 10th album, Throw the Crown, before we jump into that, for those who don't know you, man, let me just throw some questions at you just so people can get just to know who Brinson is. This dude with the beard and these shades so consistently, you know what I'm saying? He's so consistent. This dude. Okay, so I'm going to hit you with some questions. Don't overthink them. Just answer them real quick.
This is a lightning round.
Like rapid fire. This is a rapid fire lightning round. Don't overthink them. Okay, let's go.
I'm ready for that.
All right, you ready? Yeah. All right, here we go. Favorite food?
Pizza.
Favorite vacation spot?
Japan.
iPhone or Android?
Android.
Favorite board game?
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Okay. Favorite CHH artist?
K9.
Favorite movie?
Lord God. So you can't do me like this because, listen, I'm a movie buff, right?
Bruh, listen.
Like, I'm a movie buff, so
you,
I got...
All that you're doing right there, you just thinking while you're talking. Favorite movie.
Favorite Western. Tombstone.
Okay.
Favorite animated movie. It's a tie between End of the Spider-Verse and Up.
Okay.
Action... Man. Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China. Okay.
Big Trouble in Little China. / Infinity War. Drama. Heartbreak Ridge.
Heartbreak Ridge. Kid movie.
Kung Fu Panda.
Boy, you went through like five genres.
I told you I'm a buff. I got the, you know what I'm saying?
All right, got you. I'm gonna let you get away with that since it's your 10th album. If it wasn't your 10th, I'm telling you, bro. All right. I gave you a lot of latitude. All right. Favorite video game?
Street Fighter.
Favorite gaming system?
Switch? Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo Switch. Okay.
Because it's portable.
Okay.
You hook it up to the TV. You take it on a plane when we could get on planes. You know, Switch, Smash Bros. Yeah.
Got it. First car.
I had an 81 hatchback Volvo that was like a tank.
Yeah.
It had rims that you remember when the rims used to stick out?
Uh-huh.
So, and it was all metal. So if anybody hit it, them knockoff joints, that new stuff, it'll crumble. That 81 Volvo was metal.
Yeah. Them
that
joints were crushed.
It's a wrap. Yeah.
Yeah, them Volvos were built for safety too. That's their moniker, right? Built for safety. So
yeah. 81 Volvo for $800.
Okay. Favorite social media platform?
Instagram.
Least favorite?
TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I did not know.
I hear that, brother. I'm there too. I've been enjoying Swift with his children.
Swift? I never heard of
R. Swift.
Oh, R.
Yeah, R. Swift. My bad. Yeah.
I thought you done pulled up a new app.
No, R. Swift with doing his TikToks with his kids. I love it. Okay. All right. It's last one. It's hardest one. GOAT. Jordan or LeBron? You don't even want to be.
All right, so check me out. So as a human, LeBron all day. Day LeBron, all day LeBron. Okay. Well, look, you got the I Promise School. Uh-huh. You got my vote for president, bro.
Yeah.
But dude, I was watching the 96 finals, bro. I mean, I watched a whole Bulls series.
As a part of the Last Dance documentary?
No.
Oh, you just went back and watched the whole thing. Okay.
I watched it live. Yeah. I watched it. So, LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Yeah.
I got LeBron. And here's why. Because I know the debate's going to start. I know.
Yeah.
The reason is LeBron went to the finals and he carried the team. B.J. Armstrong was dope.
Yeah.
Kukoc was dope. Look, Cartwright, as old as he was still good. Dennis Rodman, Pippen, like, put Jordan on another team.
Right.
Let's see. But then, you know, and LeBron ain't have Phil Jackson.
Right.
But I don't know, man. But
exactly. That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. I mean, man.
Yeah.
And we can't say rings because then we talk rings. We say Bill Russell over both of them.
Right. No, it's a tough one, bro. It's good.
Listen, who you got?
You can't turn it. Listen, first of all, I give you a lot of latitude. Give you a lot of latitude and a lot of questions, okay? You can't now spin them around and whatnot, bro.
Text me later. Just tell me later.
I got you. I think this is a conversation that's going to go on, man, for years. It's going to go on for years because there's always going to be so many points of analysis, right, that aren't all points of analysis. They aren't all rational points, right? There's a lot of emotion in these kind of discussions. You know what I mean?
But I mean, I think a more fair question would be Kobe or LeBron.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's more fair. But
ooh, okay.
And I can't be like LeBron as a human,
yeah,
because Kobe did so much.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But as far as like on the court, like,
yeah,
who we got. So I guess if we look at it like that, if we just go on court and we got to say Jordan, but I mean, Jesus,
yeah,
LeBron is, I mean, you took the D League and put it on your back and went to the finals. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oof.
I mean, Jordan couldn't do it with the Wizards. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That was, listen, I try to erase that part of my memory. You know what I mean? Like, that was seriously. I look at that as a what do you call it? A ownership deal.
That was the asterisk.
Yeah, ownership marketing ploy, right? I'm a new ownership owner, marketing. Right? I've got to do this to help the marketing to bring people out as a part of owning this team. That's how I saw that personally. That's how I try to remember that, right? Me personally.
It was rough, bro. It was rough watching. It was rough watching because his mind was there.
Right.
His body wasn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I
it was a time to not remember. Like I actually
we still have to put that in the conversation.
We do. I might edit it out of this interview because I literally had forgotten about it. Like I blocked that out of my memory until you brought it up again. So I may edit that out. This may not make the cut. So all right. So throw the crown, man. Talk about your mindset going into this one, like going into a 10th album, man, what are you focused on? How do you think about it? What are you conceptualizing, trying to create? Give people a sense of that, because I listened to it, like I said, front to end at least twice. And then was listening to it again. Let me see. You sent it to me last Thursday, Friday. I had a couple car rides and listened to the whole joint a couple times. And then yeah. And it's well put together. I love the flow of it. One of the things I missed too, before you answer the question, is I'm not sure, and maybe it's just, this is my analysis, I have no data to back this up. I think we are much more singles oriented now, as opposed to listening through to the full album. And a couple albums come along, and I listen to them, and I go, man, I hope people listen to this whole thing. I said this about Wande's album. I felt like that was one you should listen through the whole thing. I felt the same way about yours. It's just the way it's put together, with the balance of features, non-features, the thoughtfulness of who's in the features, the different tempos and messages. And it's so funny, man, because I never considered you like an East Coast rapper. Your style, you kind of go different places, you know what I mean? So I never would say like Brinson's East Coast.
He's just, nobody does.
Yeah, I would never say that about you. You dig what I'm saying?
Nobody would be like, he's on a lyrical tip, until you dive into my albums and my catalog, and then you see the songs that I got with Eshawn and all these other guys.
Yeah.
I think the mindset going into Throw the Crown was I wanted to have a feel of all the albums coming together. Like Petty D was on my very first album, Escaping Me. He was like the biggest feature that I had, and most expensive feature that I had on my first album. And praise God, my oldest brother, he was such a Petty D fan. He was like, you got to get him on an album. I was like, dude is charging this. Right. Now, this was in 08 when Petty D was in prime, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, he cut me a check. He was like, get him on the album.
Make it happen.
I was like, hallelujah.
Right.
You know, and I wanted to have that feel and just certain elements from each album that I thought was special.
Right.
Storytelling, certain productions, East Coast productions, cyphers, heartfelt joints, things that was relatable. Because I'm big on album making. Like, if you listen to any of my albums, I always try to have well put together albums. Because my favorite artists, when I was growing up, they had great albums, not great singles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I tried to do all of that. And my mindset was to outdo every other album. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm always trying to outdo me, because I felt my ninth album that I put out last year, Reversing Tomorrow, was stellar. I felt that was my Illmatic song. I mean, my Illmatic album, because it had zero features on it and lyrics was top tier and everything, you know. So I was trying to outdo that. And the past two projects didn't have features on it. So I wanted to bring back some people and some people I've been wanting to work with for a few years, like Cut Right, like Selah. Me and Selah was supposed to do a song 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it never happened. So it happened on this one. And, you know, I just, in the center of everything, pointing people to Jesus and just trying to have that sense of the complete thought of whatever your accomplishments is, whatever your desires and whatever you've accomplished. Like, this is my milestone album, but it's still, I'll still throw it at the feet of Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Cut Right did you well too. That song he was on.
Oh yeah. You know, and with that song, we talked a lot about comic books and a lot of nerd stuff. And you know what I'm saying? And I go to these comic cons and things like that, and I love it. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to have stuff that I like. I want that song that you're referring to. That was for me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I said, I'm gonna do stuff I like too.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So what, you know, when you're releasing now, man, in the midst of everything that's happening now, because what was the recording timeline like?
I started recording last July.
Okay, right. So no anticipation of that.
I put out Reversing Tomorrow in April of last year.
Right.
Took a few months to kind of promote it and just started on that, because I've been planning this release for a while.
Okay.
Like, I had the name for it. I knew the artist, the comic book artist I was going to get to draw. And then I knew the other comic book artist I knew who was going to color it. And I've been planning it for a while.
Got it. And when'd you finish recording? Like, when'd you tie the bow on recording and go into mastering and all that process?
February.
So, okay.
I'm sorry. April.
Okay. So in the midst, so the pandemic had broke, and right before the George Floyd piece. And so, mm-hmm. you know, so now, you know, you come into a release in the midst of all this. How do you think about that, man? How do you think about an album release in the midst of pandemic, cry for social justice, and all those things?
I think it's needed. I think we're hearing so much bad news that we need some good news. We need hope. We yeah. need the gospel. We need somebody speaking sober-mindedly that is God-conscious to point us back to the cross, that no matter how the world is looking and the world might be burning down, but somebody got to be in the midst of the smoke saying, God is faithful. He won't leave or forsake us no matter what the news say, no matter what wing you on, that we have to rely on the Lord, and we can't let the media and everybody else pastor us, because none of this caught God by surprise.
Right.
He didn't just turn around and be like, oh, myself.
Right.
They doing this. Now, the scriptures prepare us for every aspect of life. It prepared us for injustice. I mean, I was reading Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and they talked about people in rule and people in power, and the soft words turn away wrath, and how God is not, how he detests injustice. And then when you read about the ministry of Jesus, Jesus wasn't political, but he was for social justice and he was for the poor. He was for the widows. He was for the people that was the downtrodden. He was for
absolutely.
All of these people.
You
know what I'm saying? He was for healthcare. He was healing people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
My low-key theory is the doctors and the other people low-key wanted to kill Jesus too, because, you know what I'm saying, he was emptying out these hospital beds. He was like, hey, the Aflac duck was like, hey, that, get him out of here. I need his money. So, you know.
Exactly.
That's my theory. I can't prove it. Nobody can disprove it, but.
Yeah. No, that's good. Now, I agree with you, man. We need the beacons of light to continue to do what they do. I've been encouraged by the ministers who've come out, and ministers, artists, whatever you call yourself, who've come out and continued to do different variations of concerts from home, or small groups getting together at churches, and, you know what I mean, who've sheltered in, but then said, oh, let's get together and do things. Because I think they help people in so many ways, man, who need those touches and need those injections, you know what I'm saying? Be re-injected with, you know, some, like you said, sober-mindedness and reminders of, you know, God is still on the throne, man.
Because if we let the world, social media, newspapers, and all the stuff on the internet preach to us, it'll choke out the word that we already know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll derail us from what we've already built our most holy faith on. You
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? Yep. And I did a concert, but I only did it to encourage people.
Gotcha.
Because people, you know what I'm saying, we don't know the strain, stress that other people are going to during this thing. People have lost their jobs. People, relationships are wrecked.
Yes.
Like, people with their kids. Like, you just see, you don't know how people mental mind state. And some people, they want to pray, but some people just pray around people when they went to church. So life is on a different road. And I think, like, what's the guy named? DJ D Nice, when he was doing the club quarantine for people, and he's still doing it. Like, that was encouraging to people because it gave them some sort of normalcy and hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, we the ones who got the answer. We got the hope. We got the real hope that the world can't take. And we got the real peace of God that we can deliver to people. So I think it's really just important that we, as people who carry the banner of Christ, do the will of God even in this moment, because people need it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good. What advice are you giving people, man, as they come to you on these topics? You know what I mean? Coming to you, you know, look, man, I'm looking for some advice. No matter what my situation may be, maybe I'm a parent. I'm recently unemployed. I'm a church person. I can't go. You know, what counsel have you been giving to people, man? And add to that again, the social unrest and so many things in the mix, even the latest thing, right? Kanye running, et cetera. I think you've said a lot of it already, but if somebody asks you specifically, yo, bro, what should I be doing right now? You know what I'm saying?
A few things that I've told people is, I believe this, we have a unique opportunity right now, being in quarantine and things like that. We have a unique opportunity to get the closest to Christ we've ever been. Because we're not out in public, you know, doing the normal things. We're not watching the NBA. We're not in our travels. We're not in our busyness that we used to give people excuses with. So we have a very unique opportunity to know God in such a way that we've never known him before in our walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And just even with me, like, I've just been training myself to read different things in the Word. And really, my prayer was, God, reteach me how to pray to you.
Yeah.
Reteach me how to hear you. Reteach me how to be close to you, because I think this is important. Because if you're a person like myself, who like, hey, Jesus coming back. Hey, he about to crack the sky. It's about to be on and popping. If you somebody like me, I'm always thinking, well, he coming back closer than he was yesterday. So we have this unique opportunity,
right,
to get to know the Lord, to find out, to find who we are, to find our purpose, to hone in on the calling of God and whatever that is. Because there's so much that we pray, oh, if I had this time to do this, I would do it. If I didn't have this, I would do it. God has given that to us. He has really answered a lot of prayers, and we just can't squander this time that he has given us. And I think, if people are struggling in certain things like relationship wise and all these virtual courses and stuff that are happening that are free, this is a time to get in. If you want to learn something, it's time to learn.
Yeah.
It's time to learn. It's time to rest. It's time to get close to God. It's time to love. It's time to check on people. I mean, it's time to sow. Mm-hmm. It's always time to sow.
Absolutely.
It's time to find your favorite artist who you used to listen to on HCR and find out if they still alive or not, and let them know that you appreciate them. You right. know what I'm saying?
Like, absolutely.
I think it's one of them times we have to be really proactive and really intentional, because let's just say in the next 6 months a vaccine comes out and things open back up. We don't want to look back on this time and be like, I could have.
Yeah.
I should have loved my family more. I should have called somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's a unique opportunity.
That's good. That's good right there. So when you think about this 10th album, man, Throw the Crown, and it has so much, I'm sure it has so much meaning to you, man, on so many levels. What would you hope to see accomplished through it?
Honestly, I hope this is my biggest project, most successful project. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I went into making it like it's going to be my biggest project. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I've had deals before. Like, I had that exclusive deal with Best Buy, and you know, I had the national distribution with like the Family Christians, the Life Ways, all those. My album's been in there, but I pray this is my biggest one. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was down because I feel like I was the only one, you know, outside of my fan base really talking about it, because I'm like, man, other platforms, I would think being in ministry this long and being faithful and not wavering, it would be celebrated more. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. But, you know, I just had to realign my thinking of who I'm doing it for, where my blessings come from, and the impact of it. I might not know it until I get to heaven.
That's,
you know,
right.
What I'm saying? Like, right. I don't know who it's going to reach, you know?
Yeah, so that's good.
The mindset was make it better than everything else.
Right.
And know in your mind it's going to be the biggest one that you've done.
Yeah. No, but level set your expectations. Yeah, and know, yeah, where your treasures are stored. Yeah, man. Yeah, you've always been, man. I appreciate you, man, because you've always been mad, sober, yet always have maintained that high level of hustle, brother. I've never seen you not be in hustle mode, man. Never. Man. Never. No, man. No matter what city or state we were in. If I see you, that brother is hustling.
Man, I see it as this, like, you know, if I think the music industry is high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not invited to the cool kids table, you build your own house.
Yeah.
You make your own rooms with multiple tables, and you invite people at your table.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't build a house without hustling for it.
Yeah. You know, and that's a good segue, man, because one of the things I know that you do, and this is so apropos for a time like this, and the Truth and I talked about this during his interview. Actually, and Wande talked about this a bit too, you know, with when this happens, and I love the phrase, and, you know, the Truth brought up that the black swan theory, right? A lot of times we don't get what's happening until it hits, and then we go, oh, you know, we didn't realize something like that could happen. Of course it can happen, right? But we don't think it can happen, right? And so is the case with swans. We always think it's only white swans until we see a black swan. And that happens with things like this, right? It happens with the stock market, with the crash in 07, 08, with the mortgages, right? And I remember that because I was working at J.P. Morgan Chase at the time, man, when that happened. And just, you know, sitting there watching those numbers was just crazy. But when you are totally dependent on one income stream and then it's gone, right? Mm-hmm. The whole thing, it is catastrophic. And I think people are learning to think about multiple streams, and you've been multiple streams for a long time, at least in my estimation. If I'm wrong, yes. clean
very,
me up.
Very long.
But yes. As long as I've known you, man, you've done your CDs, merch, you've got a book, you've got, you know, other things.
Publishing,
right, exactly. So spend a few minutes, man, on why. Well, first of all, spend a few minutes on when that became important to you and maybe a few lessons learned and what has helped keep that going.
It's always been important because if you're living off of this, your mind hones in on what's working, what's not, and what can add to it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's was my mindset, because when I started out, I was just making beats, right? And trying to sell beats, and then the label started. So then it was beats, you know, income from the label,
right.
Sales, and then I started rapping. Then it was like beats, album sales from like other artists, then my sales, mm-hmm. then the merch, and then when I started really touring and kind of like opening up my mind on, okay, what are people gravitating to? Like, how can I make my investment triple and keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And I just found out that t-shirts was the wave. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a CD is $15 and a t-shirt is $30, you make more t-shirts.
Right.
You know, like you keep going, and then you go to other things, posters and So my mind has always been there. And then, you know, I went to school for music business, so I already knew about publishing and getting radio play and things like that. And then fast forward 2020, podcast, Patreon, still publishing, people still buying CDs. This album is on vinyl. I sold out of vinyl, still merch, still hats, still all of that. And all of that is, when you're dependent on it, you have to think about it like multiple streams, because the streaming, when streams happen and it affected CD sales, it affected it so negatively. But I didn't buy into the falsehood that people don't buy CDs. It's false. I've been selling pre-orders of my album, and I have a link for digital, and I have a link for that you can buy digital directly from me, and a link that you can buy the physical. Which one you think won?
The physical one.
Way outdid the sales.
Was the physical, did it have something additional to it, like you're going to send autographed or anything like that?
Well, yes, but I didn't put that.
Okay.
It was surprises, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So I've been putting, like, I'm still doing pre-orders or whatever, but I've been putting surprise packages together that I wanted. I'm so appreciative of people buying my 10th album that I want to express and show them how much I appreciate them. So, I mean, one thing that I will say, you get a handwrite, a thank you note, and on top of the other things that I send. So they get packages, not no love.
Gotcha.
Big packages, you know what I'm love. And they don't know it.
Right,
but
right.
They get it. Everybody is pleasantly surprised. And if I know somebody got a child or whatever, I'm sending a kid something with it, because we came from an era when you open up a CD, you got a tangible thing that you can look at while you're listening.
Right.
And I wanted people to have tangible things, because I'm like, look, it's memorable to me. I want it to be memorable to the people who listen to it. And back to the money thing, I think artists have to have a mindset to work in percentages.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Work in percentages as far as when you have money coming in, where is it going? Like, you know, I pay tithe. I tithe my money. Mm-hmm. And then I invest in other artists and other people. Like,
right.
as long as the earth remains, it's going to be seed time and harvest.
Right.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. As a man soweth, that shall he reap. So if I'm constantly sowing.
Yes.
And constantly, and then I'm not even talking about personal stuff yet. I'm just talking about tithing, sowing, and then saving,
right.
And then investing. So those things happen even before bills and everything else hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it has to have, you have to have a percentage on every dollar that come in,
right.
Every sale, everything. But so you can be very conscious of where you really are,
if
you can really live off of it. Can you, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I think artists have to be mindful of the future, because what if you're not doing this for more than 5 years? Did you invest the proceeds and the profits from when you were doing it? Can you do something with that? Do you have anything to show? Because I woke up one day and I was just like, holy crap, we did all of these projects and I have zilch. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, that had to change, because I, like, God forbid anything happened to me. You know what I'm saying? What is it going to look like? It don't matter if I can't leave anything for my parents or my nephews or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? So,
all
of that stuff is important. You know, even doing ministry, the Bible says a good man leaves something. Like, we are not thinking that. We're thinking about hits, but it's more than that. You're affecting generations, and God has given us an opportunity to receive income and wealth and stuff like that, that we can help other people. So, I mean, I'm all for investing in the kingdom. And, like, yes, my album is coming out. You think I'm not looking for other people who albums are coming out? Like, how can I invest in them? They don't have to know. I know.
Right.
God know,
right.
And I'm never going to look for them to be paid back. I got to look to the Lord. So, I mean, the money thing is so, it's so important and so essential that you have the right heart, because what I'm doing, Trey, I'm trying to prove to God that he can trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because what if one day he be like, you know, I know millionaires. I know a lot of them. What if one day one of them write me a check and say, do whatever the Lord told you to do. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. I already in my mind have planned how I'm going to sow this money and how I'm going to put it into the music, put it into Christian hip hop and, mm-hmm. and ministers and ministries and send people places. Like, dude, my mind is already there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm just like, God, if you do it, I'm going to be faithful and we just going to get this gospel out, because there's so many people who are on the backside of the mountain who need this, that pushing somebody to believe in them. I think one of the most important things that happened to me was somebody believing in me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite Christian rapper is K-9, right? And this was years ago, and I was, you know, doubting myself. And dude was like, what are you doing? You already dope. What you got to prove? And him saying that to me, and I'm like, you the top one.
Right.
And you telling me I'm dope? Like, man. And I think if other people in the situation of doing full-time ministry, like everybody trying to figure this thing out, but if we had a machine to back people and to push them forward into expose the music to the masses, I mean, the whole game would be different. Like, I think we have certain people to do it, but they haven't opened up the door for other people. Like, dude, we got hundreds and thousands of talented artists. Like, bro, I mean, these dudes just need somebody to invest in them and believe in them and send them.
Yeah, yeah. Well said, man.
I know that was a lot.
Well said. No, that was good, man. Well said. You should say a lot when you have a 10th album, over 100 songs, brother. Throw the crown. Well, you heard it first here, people. Throw the crown from your man, Brinson, from Jacksonville. Hey, let me ask you this closing question, man. You've been on the road a lot. You've done a lot. Who is one person you can think of that you greatly admire but haven't met yet? Don't say Jesus.
I haven't met yet.
Don't say Jesus either, bro. Don't try to take.
I ain't gonna do you like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't do man. That, bro. Because I know you, man.
I ain't gonna do it. But I'm gonna flex real quick, boom.
Absolutely.
I'm a flex.
Yeah.
Every Christian hip-hop
pick that
artist,
book up. Pick that book up. Absolutely.
That I haven't met. I know. Dietrich Haddon.
Okay.
Dude, his music to me, if we throw away the reality TV stuff.
I got you.
If we throw that away, if I had the budget, I would have got Dietrich Haddon.
Is that right?
My album, bro.
Without
a shadow of a doubt, because to me, he is like the Michael Jackson of gospel.
Yeah, I got you. Like, yeah, Dietrich, I mean, he has some. Seriously.
Bro,
He has some bangers.
Dude, the seven day album?
Mm-hmm.
7 days?
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
Yeah.
Production, in the things that dude do with his vocally.
Yeah.
Like, he's like a gymnast. He do gymnastics with his throat.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Gotcha. Well, you answered my second question, because I was going to ask you, what would you ask him if you met him? I know what you'd ask him. Be on this thing.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
man.
What I'm saying? I tried to get a Tony Stone beat, bro. Uh-huh. I was like, if it was anything I wanted to bring back from the era of early era Christian rap, I wanted to get a Tony Stone beat on the project.
Gotcha.
It didn't happen, but almost.
That's what's up, man. Hey, well, look, congrats, bro. I'm looking forward to spending these things on Holy Culture.
Yeah.
And any videos that come, you know you got our support, brother. So,
praise
as
God.
Always, man, good to see you, man.
Appreciate you, brother.